Hey, it's Vince Murata. Join us bright and early Monday morning. Full recap, Suns, T-Wolves, and how the Cardinals did on the rest of the draft weekend. Starting at 6 on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
3 o'clock hour, the Burns and Gambo show on this Friday. The first round of the NFL draft is in the books. It was an eventful night. Maybe not as many trades as we thought. And certainly a little later on in the show, we'll talk about the thing that shocked us the most from last night, Michael Penix Jr. going to the Atlanta Falcons. But for the Cardinals, they very much by the book. There was no movement. There didn't even seem to be the threat of movement. There didn't seem to be even the wisp of, hey, we're getting a call and we're interested and we're thinking about it. No, nothing. The Cardinals played it right down the middle of the fairway. They got Marvin Harrison Jr. at number 4. They got Darius Robinson at number 27. And take it for what it's worth, the draft grades are rewarding them for their work today. I have yet to find somebody who does not, in like the expert realm, who does not love what the Cardinals did yesterday.
No, and listen, Monty was absolutely open to discussing with teams the possibility of trading town, but we have said it all along, you're going to have to blow them away with an offer. He's in the driver's seat. He doesn't have to do anything. In the end, what I said yesterday on the draft show, I truly believe J.J. McCarthy was not somebody, it was not a player that a team wanted to break the bank for. They did not want to break the bank for him. You may like him. Minnesota obviously liked him. But they weren't going to go take out a gigantic mortgage on J.J. McCarthy. They weren't going to do it. They got him. They gave up a little bit of inventory to get him, but not what it would have cost to move up to where the Cardinals' spot was. So in the end, I think it was more about the player in J.J. McCarthy. Teams liked him, but they may not have loved him, and that prevented them from making an offer that Monty could say, all right, I'm going to take this offer. I can't refuse it.
Yeah, here's Monty Austin for it. On our draft show last night, so after the first round was done, the Cardinals' GM joined us on the show and talked about staying put at 4.
You know, not difficult at all. You know, I think we came in, I'd say for the better part of the last week, I felt like Marvin was our guy at number 4, and it was going to take something really big to get us off that pick. And so, you know, we certainly had conversations. We did our due diligence. We waited for, or we were ready for any opportunity that came our way, and ultimately the best thing for us as an organization was to add Marvin at number 4.
I swear, I think that was my number one takeaway from last night, was based off of what happened last year, we were expecting Monty the Magician to show up and move up, move down, get a big haul, do this, do that. Hey, watch me wave my magic wand, and I'm going to take number 4, and I'm going to turn it into all of this. And rather than feel like he had to top himself by doing that again this year, rather than feeling like he had painted himself into a corner by being that type of general manager, he did the exact opposite this year. Stayed put. No, let the draft come to me. I've got the best player out there at number 4. I'm just going to take him. I thought, really thought, when those cornerbacks were slipping in the late first round, that Monty was going to make a move, even a couple of spots to get up and get one.
Yeah,
you know, a Terrion Arnold,
right,
or the Quinion kid. I thought for sure, not for sure, I thought there was a strong possibility that he'd be like, I got to get me one of those guys, and I got plenty of inventory to do it. He didn't. He stayed put, and he was rewarded for it. When the second round starts, two top corners are still there and available.
Right.
And it's not
Kool-Aid McKinstry's there.
And Cooper DeJean.
And Cooper DeJean,
the kid from Iowa. Mm. It's not going to take a whole lot for one of those guys to be available at 35.
No.
So Monty's, I guess my point is, like, he could have read his own press clippings. He goes, yeah, I'm Monty Austin for it. I'm the guy who bounces all around the draft, and look at what I do. He was the exact opposite, and I thought that was really cool to show us that I can draft this way, too. I don't have to be the guy who bounces all around the first round.
Yeah, no, there's this thought that they, you know, you're really going to make 11 draft picks, and can 11 guys make your roster? And, you know, that's a fair question, you know, sometimes you get some swings of the bat. Sometimes a seventh round pick can make it over a fifth rounder. You know, you just don't know. So maybe they do want the more swings of the bat. But also, they still, now that they didn't make any drastic moves, they still got plenty of inventory to move up in any of these rounds if they want to do
so.
No
doubt. And we're going to talk about that in the next segment, because I do wonder, again, since he's shown so a willingness to move around, if today is the day he starts hopping all over the board with all the picks that he has.
Yeah.
I don't know. The other thing,
Darius Robinson was the fifth edge rusher taken in the draft. So they got the number one wide receiver, and they got a top five edge rusher. Now, how good is he going to be? I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I didn't watch Missouri football. Seems to be a really high character guy. Now, Marvin Harrison, we expect to burst onto the scene and be great right away. But they did address a tremendous need of getting somebody that could at least rush the quarterback.
Well, and when we had him on the show earlier, and by the way, I do want to thank the Cardinals for giving us Darius Robinson today. It was a great conversation. We enjoyed it. We might replay it a little later on in the show. He's kind of a tweener. I mean, he a little inside, a little outside, even that positional versatility. It sounds like that's going to be a major asset for him and for the Cardinals as well. So I'm curious to see how Jonathan Gannon kind of deploys him and how they use him. I tell you, though, you and I both saw the same thing today. When a lot of these websites will say who won and who lost, who were the winners and who were the losers of day one of the NFL draft.
Kyler Murray.
Kyler Murray was named a winner on two different websites.
Yeah.
As a guy who won yesterday, he just got this generational wide receiver who's being compared to Larry Fitzgerald dropped in his lap. Yeah. Kyler Murray, you don't think he didn't know it yesterday? He's watching it on TV. He's wearing the Anquan Boldin throwback jersey while he's watching the draft, right? Like, he's all kinds of fired up. He knows. He knows the asset that he just added and his team just added yesterday.
I like to look at a lot of that stuff, winners, losers, and all of that. The one I saw was CBS Sports, and they had Kyler Murray as a clear winner by getting a talent like that to throw the ball to. And the Cardinals absolutely, you know, lacked talent at the wide receiver position. So it was fascinating just to watch. I was fascinated just watching the draft and watching Kansas City make a trade with Buffalo to come up and get a wide receiver when Buffalo doesn't have any wide receivers.
Yeah.
And then watch Buffalo trade down again and, you know, miss out on a wide receiver. So the whole draft was fascinating, but listen, with three great wide receivers, my intel tells me that Marvin Harrison was number one on their list, Rome Odunze was number two, and Malik Nabers was number three, and they had a few guys ahead of Malik Nabers, including Joe Walt and even Dallas Turner on their draft board.
Well, they had the opportunity to take the number one guy, and they did, and they took him, and everybody, and I mean everybody, is very, very happy. And I'll tell you something else that was really obvious not only last night but today. This culture shift going on with the Arizona Cardinals. Kyler Murray's in the building today watching the press conference. He apparently did like a interview bomb when Marvin Harrison Jr. was doing an interview with Craig Grealoux and Paul Calvisi over with the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Like Jonathan Gannon and his culture, Bonnie Austin Fort and his culture. Didn't you get the impression that Marvin Harrison Jr. really wanted to be a member of the Cardinals?
100%.
And
100% wanted to be here.
I think if I'm making another list of who won and who lost the day yesterday, I think the Cardinals won.
As an organization?
As an organization, because I think they're starting to give off this kind of shine like, hey, all that stuff that we were known for in the past, we're fixing it. We're working on it. We want to be a place that you want to be
It's a good point. A lot of the failures of the past seem like a distant memory. Not all of them. Because you still got the report card thing that they're working on. But I'm saying, like, when coaches got fired after going on a game trip to Mexico.
Right.
And another one got fired during the season. And DUIs. And, like, there was a lot of stuff that just painted a bad picture for the organization. And I think a lot of that is in the rear view. And absolutely, when you have a new coaching staff, just like with ASU, Herm Edwards is gone. Antonio Pierce is gone. You know, Ray Anderson is gone. You know, the sins of the past are in the past for a lot of that stuff. So I think that Gannon has come in and Monty Osifor has come in. Monty comes from New England. Gannon was in Philly. Like, these guys know what it takes to have the right culture and build the right culture, and they're doing it.
I just really loved the Cardinals, Harrison told Arizona Sports last night. Watching them growing up, Larry Fitzgerald being one of the best receivers in the league for a long period of time, the Cardinals always caught my eye. It's pretty surreal, close quote. Yeah, Marvin, it's pretty surreal for us, too, to have all of this positivity about Kyler's in the building. Now, remember we used to beg for Kyler Murray to be in the building during the offseason, and now it's like he's just there all the time, it seems like.
And he's probably there because he wants to be
there. Right, exactly. When we come back. So, first round is in the books, and we're not done talking about it, but we're also going to look ahead now towards the second round. They've got their first pick in the second round. It's the third pick overall. What are they going to do with that and the other three picks they have in the top 90? We'll talk about it next on Burns and Gambo.
Burns and Gambo. Soundbite of the week. Brought to you by Whataburger. Download the Whataburger app and sign up for a free Whataburger today.
Mitch, Lauren, I hope you picked a good one today because I forgot that on Fridays we do Soundbite of the Week. How could I forget? Because I do actually love all the choices that we have out there.
Yeah, seriously, how could you forget as I try to figure out what Soundbite... No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I have a perfect Soundbite.
You're way too responsible for not having a good one.
Oh, I am the most responsible producer.
He's just all excited he won a free lunch from you.
I did.
He did.
Oh, I'm totally amped up.
Our friend Toria, who is one of our loyal listeners who listens to the show from Alaska every single day.
Yes, absolutely.
She wants me to take Mitch to Steak 44.
Great idea, Toria. Honestly, it really is.
No. No.
What?
Burns, you will take them. What would you like? He can only order off the appetizer menu.
Do you have a kid's menu?
He'll take the collard greens. That's all.
He'll take the chicken strips. Even the chicken strips at Steak 44 are probably like $35. So I don't even know if that would help very much. Mitch, you will get a nice lunch one day next week because you correctly stood by Marvin Harrison being the fourth pick in the draft when I thought the Cardinals were going to trade out. So I owe you.
The Broncos fan, was more confident in the Cardinals staying put and taking the guy they should have taken than the actual Cardinals fan. That's my big win.
That's crazy. That's crazy. All right, what's our soundbite of the week?
Well,
I want to talk about the second round.
I think we've set it up perfectly, haven't we?
With the fourth pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Arizona Cardinals select Marvin Harrison Jr., wide receiver, Ohio State.
And I had the mood of that woman screaming in the background the entire
Yeah. There's a lot of screaming. There's a lot of screaming. Gambo, I saw the video, the YouTube video on our website. Gambo's got his arms, you know, and Wolf's all pumping his fists and everything.
Very happy with that. The only visual that I remember from the draft of being a bad one is when the Packers took the Arizona kid at tackle,
mm-hmm.
and it was a Packer fan, and the Detroit fans were like, man, because he was like, what did we just do? And the Lions fans are making fun of him because, like, who's this guy we just drafted from Arizona?
That's funny. That's funny. All right, that's our soundbite of the week. And out from last night's NFL draft. Now, today, round two starts in about 41 minutes.
Let's go.
All right. And yeah, let's go because the Cardinals have the third pick today. And last night we asked Monty after the draft, Monty Ossenfort, if there's somebody that he likes at 35 overall. And kind of unprompted, he said,
you know, we're excited. We'll be ready. You know, we'll have all day to look at the board tomorrow, but we have some intriguing guys that are still on our board. And, you know, really, I think what ends up happening when you have a pick this high going into day two is other teams have all day to sit and look at their board, and you know, I'm guessing that our phone is ringing pretty hot and heavy tomorrow as well for teams looking to come up. So, you know, we'll be ready. I know that we will be ready to take a strong player there at 35, and if a situation shows itself that that makes sense for us, benefits the team, you know, we won't hesitate to do that either.
Give me a call. Give me a ringy dingy. Let me know.
Call me.
We're sitting there. Call me. We're sitting there at number 35, and you woke up this morning, and you're another team, and you thought, man, I really want that guy at number 35. I'm going to give old Monty a call and see if I can maybe pop on up and get that draft pick from him. And Monty sounds like he's more than willing to, as of course any good GM would, he's more than willing to listen and see what teams have to offer.
Do you
think they would trade down from 35?
I don't know, because if you're looking at the cornerback spot, you've got Cooper DeJean, you got Kool-Aid McKinstry sitting right there for you.
Yep.
You got those guys sitting
right there
for you to take. So if you, there's also this edge rusher, Chris Broswell from Alabama, that if you want another guy that can long, powerful rusher, you could go get the kid from out, like, there's a lot of good players there. What would it cost to move up in the second round? I mean, you know, Monty might be looking for, can I take your second round pick and then I add something for next year? Because I'd like to get something for next year. Mm-hmm. You know, that might be something that he's willing to do. I'm not sure. But man, I like where they're at right now. I love those. Look, Buda Baker was one of those early second round picks.
Oh, yeah.
Love those early second round picks. Was Christian Kirk one too?
I believe he was too. Yes.
I love the ability to go get a good player there early in the
second round. That's actually something that was Kime was actually pretty good at that. It was the first rounders that he struggled with, but he's pretty good at the second round. You're picking this early in the second round, man. You got the cream of the crop right there. You could get a really good player. And again, you're expecting this guy to be a guy that could start. You're not expecting this to be a backup or a depth guy. You're picking at 35. You're thinking that guy's going to come in and start for me.
You're picking among guys that most of whom were thought to be first round picks.
Yes.
You know, like you look at most of these names, and most of them were, if you believe in the mock drafts, were players that, okay, that's a first rounder. I saw a lot of first round grades for Kool-Aid McKinstry, a lot for Cooper DeJean. Those are the two big names, and all it takes is one player that's not a corner to go in the first two picks, and one of those two guys, DeJean or Kool-Aid McKinstry, will be there at number 35, and maybe Monty just does what he did yesterday, plays it kind of cool, and just sits back and waits for one of those corners to be there. Gambo, I was looking at everybody's like best available lists. Man, there's some really good football players. There's Jackson Powers Johnson, the center out of Oregon. He's available. Cooper DeJean is available. Kool-Aid McKinstry is available. Zach Frazier, a center out of West Virginia, is available. Marshawn Nealand, an edge rusher out of Western Michigan, is available. And this is where I think the trade-in element comes in here, where if you're a team in the second round, say like five spots behind the Cardinals, and there's somebody you really, really want. The Cardinals, to your point, I'm glad you brought this up, they only have six draft picks next year. So Monty might be looking with an eye towards, give me an asset next year so I can have a more well-rounded portfolio for 2025.
I'll move down six spots, throw me a, I don't know, third or fourth rounder for next year.
Yeah.
Give me an extra pick. And that way I get an extra pick next year. Now, there's three cornerbacks. So if he's thinking corner, you've got the Cooper DeJean, the kid out of Iowa. You got Kool-Aid McKinstry, the Bama cornerback. And then you've got this kid out of Missouri. We'll go back to Missouri. Enos Rakestraw, who was really sought after. Everything I've read about him is like a lot of people are very, very high on him. Rangy, fluid cornerback, plays with energy and toughness. So you've got three cornerbacks there. If you're thinking corner and you kind of, you know, have a similar grade on all three of these guys, yeah, why not move back a few spots? Get one of them. Add a pick for next year, so that way you could go from 6 to 7.
Yep.
Just get more ammunition for next year.
I would assume that no matter where they pick in the second round, that it's going to either be a corner or an offensive lineman. Could be wrong. I would assume it's either a corner or an offensive lineman. Though I'll tell you what, Wolfley last night at the end of the draft show was trying to make a compelling case for taking yet another wide receiver and going with Ladd McConkey, the Georgia kid, because it'd be a perfect slot receiver. He's like a Wes Welker plug and play, ready to go.
Right.
And you're trying to, you know, really amp up your offense and give Kyler Murray these weapons. I think it's a little too much to do that when you have so many needs on the, not needs, but, you know, you always want offensive linemen. You always, you know, corner is a real need, obviously.
But you got to remember, you've already got two great offensive weapons in the passing game because you have to add Trey McBride in there. You've got two great passing weapons. You've got Marvin Harrison Jr., you got Trey McBride. And almost like having a closer in baseball, a good closer, you bump everybody else down. Every other wide receiver on that roster is going to benefit from the fact that they've got Marvin Harrison Jr. now, because he's going to get the number one, all the attention. So I don't think you need to add another wide receiver. Yeah, maybe you do later on, if you know, sixth round or
I'm
so.
I'm sure they will later on.
But you've got to address some other needs right now.
It was just an interesting kind of thought. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, after I remind you that the Arizona Cardinals have secured their franchise wide receiver, we want to gear you up for football season. Text the word jersey to 620-620, and it is your chance to win a Marvin Harrison Jr. jersey as well as a Kyler Murray autographed jersey. Text the word jersey to 620-620 now for your shot at winning. It used to be that if the Suns wanted to beat the Timberwolves, they had to slow Anthony Edwards down and keep Carl Anthony Towns from being a factor. They did all that, and they still lost. All of these X factors the Suns are dealing with tonight. We'll talk about it next on Burns and Gambo.
Hey, it's Luke. The Phoenix Suns head home down 0-2 to the Minnesota Timberwolves. Are they going to make this a series in front of Planet Orange? We'll be reacting Monday at 10 a.m. It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports.
Kevin Durant was asked yesterday a bunch of questions, and one of the questions was, hey, Mike Conley, how do you slow him down? Do you think Kevin Durant thought he was going to be asked that question before the start of the series? Here was his answer.
Just trying a little harder, just helping each other out a little bit more. Mike, I think the first game we did a solid job on Mike. He made his to veteran player that knows how to play crafty. And he got into the paint a little bit last game, hit some shots last game. Rudy's just a big guy, willing to around. And I got a lot of penetrators, so we help. And Rudy's there as a safety valve sometimes. So they're just playing harder, help each other out more, and you know, just be there on the catch a little bit more. And
Mike Conley's a very, very good player.
Very good.
He's a very good player.
He's never been an all-star. He's one of the more underrated players, but he's never been an all-star. He's just so good. Had that terrible Achilles injury when he was in Memphis, but always liked his game. Always liked the way he plays.
Yeah, and I bring that up just to kind of point out what we all sort of experienced when the Suns and the T-Wolves played a couple of days ago, in that the Suns did defensively a really decent job on Anthony Edwards. And Karl-Anthony Towns, playoff version Karl-Anthony Towns, who always struggles with fouls and struggles with his emotions, he showed up for that game too. All of those things happened. And yet, the Minnesota Timberwolves still blew out the Phoenix Suns because they got an unbelievable performance from Jaden McDaniels. They got an unbelievable performance. They have gotten performances from Nikhil Alexander-Walker. Mike Conley was tremendous in Game 2. Like, you would have thought coming out of that Game 2, you're going to hold Anthony Edwards to, what was it, a 3 of 15?
Three out of 15 shooting night.
And Karl-Anthony Towns is going to be in foul trouble all night. And you're still going to get walloped the way you got walloped, right? Like, that's the part that didn't compute in that game the other night.
Sometimes the stats tell different stories, you know? I mean, you look at a certain thing, and I said to you, what if I told you that Cat's going to be in foul trouble and only have this many points, and Anthony Edwards only going to make 3 field goals? Oh, Suns win easy. But that wasn't the case, because a lot of other things, especially second-chance points, really favored the Minnesota Timberwolves in that game. And their defense has been sensational. I mean, the pressure on the ball and the pressure on the defenders carrying the ball up has been amazing. Now, can they keep that up again? Because that's what's bothered Phoenix. It's bothered the Suns because they don't have Mike Conley. They don't have Chris Paul. They don't have that traditional point guard that is used to it and accustomed to dealing with pressure on the ball. They've got 2 guards that have played some point, but they're not used to this type of pressure. And in the regular season, you don't see this type of pressure in the regular season. Very rarely do you see a team pressure the way the Minnesota's pressuring right now in the playoffs. Now, if Minnesota in the regular season, when they played the Suns and went 0-3 against them, if they had played like this and pressured, they probably wouldn't have been 0-3 against them.
Yeah, but I still think that when you're talking about a player like Devin Booker, he's cooked guys like this before. He should be able to do it again.
I don't disagree.
If that's the case, then Devin Booker is not one of the 10 best players in the NBA, you know, as we have long believed him to be. And if we truly believe that Devin Booker, and I'll even zoom out and say one of the 15 best players in the NBA, if Devin Booker is truly one of the 15 best players in the NBA, Jaden McDaniels shouldn't be able to undo that, you know, at least not to the extent he has in these first 2 games.
He's a very good player, and he's playing really hard. But I will say this. I don't know that any player in this series has more to lose than Book does. And I don't think it's Durant. I think Durant already has his critics and stuff like that. Devin Booker has a lot to lose in this series. You go get swept by Minnesota.
Tell me why. I think that
you know, Kevin Durant, like, his legacy is cemented. He's one of the greatest players that's ever played the game.
Okay.
He's got his detractors, and people say, well, you want, but he's got 2 championship rings and 2 NBA Finals MVPs. You can't take it away from him. Now, the detractors who want to knock him for that, they're always going to knock him. Nothing's going to change. If he wins one with Phoenix, okay, they may, you know, but like Kevin Durant, his legacy is cemented. Devin Booker's is not. Okay, there's still people that doubt Devin Booker. Bill Simmons had a thing the other day. Trade him to New Orleans for C.J. McCollum, Trey Murphy, and 2 picks. Mm-hmm. Bill Simmons.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
You know? So Devin Booker still hasn't reached that stratosphere where, like, he's cemented his legacy. He's one of the great. He still has a lot of work to do. And when you lose the way he's lost, the elimination game against Denver, the elimination game against Dallas, the way he's played in some. Now, I think he's been really good in a lot of playoff games.
Oh, a lot of playoff. I'm glad you brought that up.
Really good.
A lot of playoff
games.
But
there have been, like, the first 2 games against the Minnesota Timberwolves here, he's been terrible. Okay? Hasn't even been good. He's been terrible. Some of the elimination games, he didn't show up. So there's a lot of knocks on Devin Booker. I think even more knocks on him than Kevin Durant. So I think the guy that has the most to lose by losing this series in 4 or 5 games is Devin Booker.
No, I don't disagree. I was just curious to see how you were going to kind of present it and phrase it. Because I think Devin Booker had established himself as one of the top, I'll just say 12 players in the NBA. And I think his status as that is very much in jeopardy if this thing is done in a few days. Very like in the eyes of the NBA, people just assume, hey, Devin Booker, and he's great, he's elite, he's awesome, it's all that stuff.
Yeah, but we're lucky to have him.
But and I don't want to get rid of as much as my faith in Devin Booker has been tested by this series, and quite frankly, has been tested by this season. Something about Devin Booker has just been off all year. I think we can all see it, we're all feeling it, none of us know what it is, but something just hasn't quite been right. But if this thing ends quickly, yeah, I think you're right. I think Devin Booker, suddenly the rest of the NBA might not look at him as just an automatic, guaranteed, write it down in ink, he's one of the 12 best players in the NBA, and that's that kind of conversation. Because I think there will be some residual from this series, especially if, now, I think Devin Booker is going to have a Devin Booker explosion tonight. I think it's coming. I don't know if that changes all of these kind of mixed emotions we have about Devin.
And how he's got to win the series.
Certainly got to be more competitive in the series. I feel, because if we go three games of this, of Devin Booker being completely marginalized and minimalized by Minnesota.
Can't undo what happened in the first two games. So even if they come back and they win tonight, they win, say they lose in six. People are still going to look back at why you played so poorly in those first two games.
If he plays great, and they lose in six over the next four games, I think that will go a long way towards going, okay, you know what? He's fine. Everything's okay. Wasn't him. But he's got to play like that even if they lose however many games. I think however many more games. But you think the opposite. You think that even if he plays well, you're still going to remember how poorly he played in the first two games.
If they lose the series. If they lose the series, we're going to look back on they needed to split in Minnesota, and they didn't. And why didn't they? Well, the big three didn't play well. Now, you could knock all of those guys. You could knock Beal. You could knock Durant. You could knock Booker.
Yeah.
But Booker is, I think, the guy. Let's be honest. We don't really care that much about Bradley Beal. Okay? Like, he's like, you, his we legacy, don't care his, that much about
the,
him.
The conversation, the big picture stuff. No, we don't care. But
no, it's Book who is more cemented to Phoenix than any of those other guys, and by a landslide. So it's Booker that, you know, that still has a lot to prove to a lot of people that he's one of the elite players in the game. We think he's elite. We're happy he's here, but he's got a lot of knocks on him. And if they lose in this and they lose to Minnesota in the first round, it's going to be another knock.
I'm glad you pointed that out. And really quickly, I just want to say, yes, the playoff elimination games have left a lot to be desired and have raised question marks. If you go back and look at last year's Devin Booker's playoff game log, it was literally the only poor game he had the entire postseason.
It was great.
Was the elimination. He was phenomenal.
Yeah.
He was next level outstanding all last postseason until they got to that elimination game. Put up incredible numbers. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo Show, the Arizona Cardinals have secured their franchise wide receiver, and we want to gear up for the football season. Text the word jersey to 620-620 for your chance to win a Marvin Harrison Jr. jersey as well as a Kyler Murray autographed jersey. Text the word jersey to 620-620 now for your shot at winning. The biggest headlines from round one of the NFL draft, we'll talk about them next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Arizona sports, all in for the Suns in the playoffs.
All right, Burns and Gambo, all in, as promised during the 3 o'clock hour. And we want to congratulate Joshua Sanchez from Phoenix. Congratulations to Joshua Sanchez. He won two tickets to tonight's Suns Game 3 against the Minnesota Timberwolves. But we still have another pair of tickets that we want to give away for Game 4 coming up on Sunday. So, Gambo, the code word is CHAMPS. C-H-A-M-P-S.
CHAMPS.
CHAMPS. Text the word CHAMPS to 620-620 right now. Enter your info, and you could be headed to a Suns home playoff game. Again, the code word is CHAMPS.
CHAMPS like us, baby, we were born to run.
Yes. CHAMPS like us, baby, we were born to run. Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
There you go. I was trying to find something that works with CHAMPS.
And you found it. Yeah,
I found it.
You found it. You went born to run by
CHAMPS
Bruce
like us, baby, we were born to run.
CHAMPS to 620-620.
We laugh at that.
Please leave out. I'm
it's
laughing.
A good song.
It's a fantastic song. Yeah. It's one of the best songs of all time. Just keep the Bruce Springsteen lyrics out of the text, because then you might not be registered. You
know? Oh, yeah, yeah.
Text for champs, yeah. The 626.
Don't text champs like us, baby. We have one to run.
Don't do that. I don't think you'll be registered if that happens. No, I don't think so. Not at all. The second round of the draft set to begin in 12 minutes. And I said it before, I'll say it again. We're not doing full draft coverage for the second round, but because the Cardinals pick so high in the second round, we'll bring you the first pick of the second round, the second pick. We'll go to the podium. We'll play draft profiles and things like that. And when the Cardinals are on the clock, we'll kind of treat it like we did yesterday to see what they do. Now, maybe they trade out. And if they do, then we'll kind of downshift and do it all a little bit later. But for now, coming up at 4 o'clock when the draft starts, we're kind of treating it like a draft. So just keep it right here. We'll let you know what the Cardinals do in the second round. And then after that, I don't know if we're going to be on the air when their third rounder comes up. Takeaways from yesterday that didn't have anything to do with the Cardinals.
I love the Penix Cousins debacle in Atlanta. I think that's just great. Like, they drafted, you're Kirk Cousins, man. They gave you $100 million guaranteed. What are you crying about? 35 years old. They drafted a quarterback that they like. They liked him. They had him rated high. They had a chance to get him. You're not going to be their quarterback for 7 more years. You're not you're there right now, and they're paying you. You're going to be the starting quarterback. There's nothing wrong with drafting a quarterback anymore and waiting a year or two for that guy to develop.
But what you're crying about is, hey, we had the 8th pick in the draft. We're trying to win this year.
Mm-hmm.
Pick a player that helps us win this year. I didn't come here so you could pick a player that's going to help us win when I'm not here. Pick a player who's going to help us win now. Otherwise, what the bleep am I doing here? Why did I come? That's why he's upset.
That's the Aaron Rodgers philosophy with Green Bay. You know, why'd you take Jordan Love?
Right.
You know, we're trying to win right now. Why? Because look who the quarterback for the Green Bay Packers is right now.
I understand
Jordan Love.
The big picture logic, but that's why Kirk Cousins, it's not about the money or about whether his job's going to get taken from him 2 years. Kirk Cousins is going to get $100 million guaranteed, whether he's great or whether he sucks. He's just like, man, could we not have taken a defensive player that would have helped us be better this year so I can, as a 35-year-old, I can go out and be successful?
You could have.
I'll give him credit for being upset about that. He should be upset about that.
I mean, part of me understands it, but you know what? The organization has a quarterback that they like and they believe in, and they think, you know, if we could have this guy sit for a year or maybe even two, we could develop, and then we have a guy ready in place to go when Kirk Cousins is no good anymore.
Yeah, I've seen all the Green Bay comps, and I saw a former executive on Twitter who was talking about it. He said, look, it's a little different. It's a little different than what we did. I mean, when we drafted Jordan Love, Aaron Rodgers had established himself as our quarterback. When we drafted Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre has established himself as our quarterback. We took those quarterbacks in the 20s. You know, we took them later in the first round of the draft. This was the 8th pick of the draft for a quarterback who has not played a snap yet with Atlanta. Not a snap. Aaron Rodgers had been there for 10 years. Brett Favre had been there for 10 years. Because it's a little different than what we did in Green Bay.
But it is a 35-year-old quarterback,
no,
and you got to start. You have to have one eye on the future.
But it is. But you also have to have one eye on the present, and I think that's where Cousins is a little upset.
All right, Chargers declined Justin Herbert trade requests. I can't believe that anybody even called to try to get him.
Why not? Why wouldn't you call? Aren't you of the philosophy that you always ask the girl out for a date, even though she might tell you no? What's the harm in asking? Well, why not ask? Right. Why not? Yeah. Hey, you know what? I'm just checking to make sure. Is he available? Yes. You always ask. Hey, just checking to see. You got any plans on Friday night? You want to go out? No? Okay. Nothing ventured, nothing gained. What's the harm in asking?
I never heard no.
Oh.
Oh!
God.
Yeah. How you doing?
My eyes are rolling so far back into my skull. They're stuck there.
I just can't really relate to what you're talking about, Burns. I just can't really relate to that. You know, you ask them out and they tell you no. I just really don't know what that's like.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
You know, the how you doing line was pretty good.
Yeah,
now,
I'm
what
sure.
What is relatable to you, Gambo?
Honestly, yes. Gambo is the most unrelatable soul in the history of souls. Yes. Like you're from another planet, man. It's like you just exist in another dimension. So the dimension of your own imagination is where you live.
All right, Vikings trade up with the Jets. They get J.J. McCarthy. We're not surprised at that, right? But they didn't move up to where...
That's the surprising part. They only had to move up a spot.
They moved up one spot.
They moved up one spot.
And, you know, we had talked about that scenario with the Giants where could you move down two spots. But in the end, the Minnesota Vikings got their quarterback. They let go of Kirk Cousins. They end up getting J.J. McCarthy.
McCarthy at number 10. They move up one spot. They give up another pick to get him. And now they've got a guy. This is the guy that they liked. It's, we all knew that this was the quarterback that they liked, was J.J. McCarthy. And they were able to get him without giving up a king's ransom.
Yeah, they were. 12 quarterbacks, or 6 quarterbacks in the first 12 picks.
What do you think about Bo Nix?
I read all the stuff about how they put him through the paces, and they thought he's the guy. They like pre-draft, they sent him plays, he learned them, he went out on the field and did them. I think all it does is it reminds us of two things. Number one, next year's quarterback class is supposed to stink.
Right.
And number two, teams that don't have a quarterback will do anything to find the next quarterback, even if that means drafting Michael Penix when you just signed Kirk Cousins to $100 million guaranteed, or drafting Bo Nix, number 12. I was listening to Saban. Yeah, it was Saban with some of his commentary. He's like, look, Bo Nix is a good quarterback, okay? He's a good quarterback. He is not a first-round grade quarterback. He's just not.
They haven't made the playoffs since Mitch was in diapers. Okay, 8 years, but you know, we do call them kids.
Mitch, how old are you?
It's been 8 years since they even made the playoffs.
I didn't realize we were hiring our producers in elementary school.
I tell you, the best sound that I heard was Bill Belichick criticizing Drake May.
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear that? Anybody hear? Jamal's laughed, and it's like, well, look at this play. It's not very good, and he didn't really make that throw, and you got to do this better. And Bill Belichick breaking down Drake May like, I would have never taken this kid.
Good. I'm glad he did. I think the other you mentioned it earlier. Earlier, but I thought the Bills, man, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
Kansas City.
You really
want to help them out?
I didn't get a lot of people didn't understand that.
You're going to play them in the playoffs. What are we doing? What are you doing trading them draft picks so they can go out and get burners?
Well, and you need a wide receiver, too. You get rid of Gabe Davis. You get rid of Stephon Diggs. You need a wide receiver. Did you not like any of these wide receivers at the end of the first round?
Worthy's going to be all that in a side of slaw. I don't know. There's a reason he was available that late in the draft. But still, Kansas City, it's like you're gonna believe that they can't make that guy work when Patrick Mahomes is throwing to him.
They got Hollywood Brown, too. And they got the Rice kid, who I thought was really good this year for them, Kansas City.
Yeah, well, the Rice kid who had some legal issues. The defensive players getting pushed to the back half of the draft, I think, was a big story. A cornerback not going until number 22 overall to the Philadelphia Eagles was an absolute shocker. I mean, these are good corners. Highly, yeah. I know you had said 10 to 20, but 22 was when the first one went
at 22.
Wasn't expecting that at all. Other than that, I thought it was kind of a chalky draft. For the most part, you know,
yeah, especially with the lack,
it was kind of chalky. There was a,
especially
no
with
trades,
the lack of trades,
not a lot of trades,
right.
Not a lot of big shocks out there, yep. Other than the Penix deal. That was the big one. Text us your thoughts right now on the FanDuel text line at 620-620. When we come back, round two of the draft is set to begin. Will the Cardinals get who they want at number 35? Are the Cardinals moving out of 35? We'll talk about it as the draft resumes next on the Burns and Gambo Show.